Welcome, welcome to Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and this week's guest is Dr. Valerie Olmsted of BBS Radio and of Enlightened Medicine and of herself. Welcome to the show, Valerie.
Oh, thank you so much, Veronica.
Yeah, this is going to be really fun. So you're on the road. Let's see, let's talk about what kind of medicine you do, because you were a doctor, a regular doctor, were you a physician?
Yeah, I'm a licensed physician, and it's a naturopathic medical doctor.
Okay.
In Arizona, we are licensed as general practice physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was doing that and minding my own business and then got into this whole quantum physics thing and changed my life.
Yay. Well, let's have some fun with that. I thought it was pretty interesting. One of the things I read on your blurb at BBS Radio, it said that you were working with, trying to see it here, weird diseases.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Does that mean the kind of thing that's inexplicable to the regular medical doctor?
That's exactly what that means.
And that drove you to exploring new options,
mm-hmm.
or that shifted you in a quantum way, did it?
Well, what happened was I've got 30 years as an RN.
Oh, have you? Good.
Yeah, and most of my training was all emergency and ICU. So it's critical care track all the way. Then I went into home health when I hurt my back. And so I've done quite a few different parts of the healthcare scene for a long time.
Hmm.
What I saw was the same people coming back time and time again, and we would joke with the open heart surgery patients that we should tell the doctor to put a zipper in because they'd be back for the third time.
Oh, wow.
And I kept looking at this and saying, something's wrong with this picture. We're not curing anybody. And, you know, somebody would come in, say they come in with diabetes or they come in with congestive heart failure or kidney disease or something like that. It was basically a sentence to take pharmaceuticals for the rest of your life.
Hmm.
And I kept looking at this and saying, that's not healing. And it didn't make any sense. And I came from a background of being an energy healer.
Hmm.
And I've been an energy healer ever since I was a little kid. And I got into nursing so that I wouldn't get thrown in jail for fortune telling. And
how did you learn energy healing? Did it come naturally to you? Or?
It just came naturally, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there were all these things going on. And then somebody told me about naturopathic medicine, and I went, wow, that sounds like my kind of thing. And I went into it, and I realized about maybe halfway through the program that it is amazing. It's like speaking five different languages of medicine rather than one, because you have to know what the allopaths know, what the osteopaths know, what the oriental medical doctors know, what the Ayurvedists know, what the homeopaths know. You have to know all of that stuff combined and pick out the best route for your patient. And I like it because I have a lot of tricks in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for instance, if someone doesn't like needles, I don't have to give them acupuncture. I can still do energy medicine with homeopathy, or I can do it with laying on with hands, or I can do it with lasers, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for at the time was the elegant solution.
Mm-hmm.
And on my radio show, I had Fred Bell on, mm-hmm. Dr. Fred Bell, and who also has a show here on BBS, a couple shows, I think. Just an amazing genius guy, and he had all these little things he'd been doing for years, and he's a physicist. And I talked to him, I had him on the show, I thought, this is really amazing, I want to see if this stuff works. So I ordered some of his stuff, and the minute I put the receptor on, I felt the difference, and I went,
What's the receptor?
It's a little device that he makes. It's kind of round. It's a disc, and it's got little bumps on it. They're pyramids,
mm-hmm.
and it's in a Fibonacci series, and basically it's... It helps to restructure your DNA. It's the simplest way to put it. So it despirals you out of this third dimension and up spirals you into the fourth. So it's changing things, changing your vibratory level and protecting
you. And you noticed it right away.
Yeah, I noticed it right away.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, this is like being on drugs or something.
How do you know about that?
Oh, well, that's another long story. It has to do with a shamanic trip.
Great, wonderful.
But that's how I got into it. And then I got into using his other devices. And when I heard about the holographic projectors, I said, man, give me a half an hour in Dr. Fred's living room with his projectors, and I will manifest my life.
So what are holographic projectors?
Those are like two of the receptors put together with three pyramids in the center. And basically what they do is they create a scalar field.
Hmm.
And the scalar field kind of goes out into the universe, finds what you want, brings it back.
Hmm.
And it also collapses the dimensions, because of the way it's put together. And we've got lots of photos of that. It's amazing. And so we keep taking photos while we're out here on the tour. Mm-hmm. We're taking lots and lots of movies and photos, and we look at them all afterwards and throw out the ones that don't show anything. But we've got time-space distortions. We've got what Dr. Bell is calling time slips or missing time.
I looked at the pictures, and they were really beautiful, but I couldn't figure out what I was looking at, you see.
Well, that's okay, because I don't think anybody really knows.
Hmm.
I don't know. You know, people keep asking me, what is this? And I go, I don't know.
Well, what was it of? Like, it was a, that's the thing, is I can't tell whether it's of the universe or of the person. I don't.
Well, when you're looking at the pictures, what you see on the website, on the Host Your Own Quantum Vortex Gathering page, is you will see pictures that are basically pictures of the projectors with the lights off and the laser is pointed at the jewel. The projectors have two jewels on them. And the jewel acts as kind of a filter. It pulls the energy in and brings it onto the back,
see.
And there's a microwave trap on the back. And we actually have pictures of the energy spitting out.
Okay.
So it's interesting stuff. And if people want to go right now to myspace.com/quantumvortex, they will find, you know, our page on that. I've got 27 photos on there I just put up today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and there's different things. We get faces in the photos. We get orbs. We get strange energy patterns. We get what look like Hebrew flame letters or Enochian flame letters. We get, I don't know. We never know what we're going to get. We just get all kinds of weird stuff.
And what kind of camera?
Just any kind of digital camera, we'll pick it up.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't tried a film camera because it would be too prohibitively expensive. But, you know, because you end up taking, like, hundreds of photos during the Vortex experience. And we might get maybe 20 that we think are pretty cool and maybe two that are awesome.
Hmm.
So we just take a lot of pictures and then we download them into the computer. So that kind of put me off on a whole different direction by doing this. And at one point, we got some amazing video where we have a red laser focused on one of the jewels on the projector in my office. And everything was static there. It was all up on the wall. You know, you didn't move the lasers or anything. And I started saying, open the Arcturian Stargate. And kablam, this thing opened up right on the film. And I went, holy cow. I was looking in the viewfinder and looking back up at the projector. I wasn't seeing it with my eyes. I only saw it in the viewfinder.
Hmm.
So then, of course, being scientific, I had to move the thing around, you know, and see if it was just that it was reflection on the lens or whatever, and it wasn't. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. And I watched it, and I got about, a 10-minute video clip of this thing just going crazy and, like, kind of spitting out these balls of lines of light, concentric circles. Now, I had no idea what that meant, but I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And so I sent it to Dr. Fred, and he put it up on his raysoftruth.tv website. But he didn't tell me what it was. I kept saying, what is this? Well, he didn't tell me. But on his website, he's got a few things, you know, that talk about what these different things are. So after that, then I went in by myself again, and I had my little video camera. And as soon as I sat down in the chair, I felt like somebody put goggles on me, and I could see the edges of the goggles. I thought, okay, that's really weird. Why do I have goggles on? And then I was sitting there talking, you know, to the space beings, basically, and saying, you know, open the Arcturian Stargate. And all of a sudden, I saw this black little dot start in the center of this field of light and come streaking out towards me. And it got big and kind of went ka-thump. I heard it, landed in front of me and stood up, and it was a man. And I was like, whoa, hello. Kind of like, you know, order a mail in the mail.
Mail order bride. Could you see through him?
I couldn't see through him. He was solid, but I couldn't really see him either. It was like he was kind of a shadow, like a being that would be wearing kind of a scintillating black velvet. You know, like there were points of light blue and points of gold and a little bit of violet. You know, different colored points of light were on this being. And he walked around very quickly behind me and started working on my head. They do a lot of rewiring with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, okay, I've had my head worked on before. And I don't know what happened after that, but, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting. And so I just kind of note all these things. Now, one of the things I've noticed with my patients, when I put the patients in the room and gave them a shot of this elixir that I make, that the recipe was basically given to me by the archangels. I mean, I came up with it, but then I said, how much of this and how much of that? Here's what I want to do. And I had certain phrases and words I used to create this stuff. And for a month, I tested it. And the way I tested it was somebody come in, I'd go, hey, you want a new elixir? They said, sure. I'd squirt it into their mouth, and they'd go, what is that? I'd go, no, you tell me what it is. And then they would give me the same words that I used to create it. I thought that was interesting. So one of them is called tune-up. And so I gave this to a guy. I have a 3-page testimonial on my product part of my website under the Enlightened Soul Elixirs. And this guy, Nobo, came in, and I was going to put him in the room for 15 minutes. Usually it takes about 15 minutes for a personal session. And so I put him in there. I said, you go through release, you go into unconditional love, you ask for what you want. That's the quantum physics of it. And he said, okay, and I gave him a shot of tune-up. And I walked out, you know, turned on music, turned off lights, and said, have fun. And at the 15-minute point, I got up to go back and get him out. And as soon as I stood up, my guidance said, leave him there. I said, okay. I sat back down. So I'm playing on the computer and answering the phone and such. And, you know, after half an hour was up, it was like, okay, ding, done. Go ahead and get him. I said, okay. So I went and got him. He said, oh, I love that room. I said, really, what happened? And he said, well, he said, I actually levitated up off of that chair.
Wow.
And he said, they were flipping me upside down and around and all over the place. And he said, they inserted a golden rod down my spine.
Hmm.
And he said, I have to tell you, Dr. Valerie, he said, for 50-some years of my life, I have never, ever been able to turn my neck without turning my entire body. And he said, you know, I have been to every kind of physician there is on the planet. I have been to every faith healer and energy healer and everything that medicine has to offer, I have tried. And he had a pretty heavy abuse history, and he writes about that, you know, in his testimonial. And he said, you know, nothing has ever worked for more than a day or two. But he said, for the first time in my life, I can actually move my neck without moving my body. I said, wow, that's awesome. And so he swears by this stuff. He said, you know, since he started doing that, he gives himself a shot 3 times a day, and he's fine. He's got his life back.
Wow.
And he said, well, what did you put in that? I said, actually, I had very little to do with that. I said, you know, I know what kind of herbs to put together, and I know what their spiritual aspects are as well as what the medical aspects are, and so I figured if I use these, this would work. And I said, and I know, you know, about flower essences, and I know about, you know, the quantum physics energies. And I said, I just combined all that. But I said, I called in the archangels, and the archangels put their energy in it. And that's why it works. And then I put you in the room where you can access all of these quantum energies. And that's from the archangels, God, Jesus, Mary, the Ancient of Days, Krishna, anybody. Anybody that you want to access in that beam, you can do, because they are all quantum energies, as are we. And so I've had people that went in there. For instance, I had a girl from India that was in Sedona doing a seminar or something, and she heard about the room. She said, would you please take me there? I'd really love to experience it. I said, okay, fine. So I drove her over to the office and turned it all on, and I went in to get her in 15 minutes, and her eyes were, like, peeled open, and she looked catatonic, and I was like, oh, no, what am I going to do now? And I said, are you okay? She said, Lord Shiva was here.
Wow.
I said, oh, yeah. She goes, no, you don't understand. Lord Shiva was here. I said, yes, I do understand. I said, we have had many, many visitations in this room from all kinds of beings. And what it has taught me is not only can someone be healed instantly, if that's what's supposed to happen, and it mostly has to do with what they're willing to accept at that time, but we can reach farther than we think. We can do way more than we ever thought we could. And you can do it in a lot of different ways. You can do it with the quantum physics devices. You can do it with meditation, but that usually takes a long time. You can do it with prayer. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to access what I call the quantum energies. Because we're all in the soup. You know, we're in a quantum soup together.
We sure are.
Yeah.
Tell me, was this an elixir?
Yeah, I did an elixir called Tune Up, And now I didn't give any to the Indian girl. I just gave it to Nobo. And Nobo's going to be on my show later on tonight. He's a Chaldean numerologist, amazing, amazing reader. And what I gave him was just, you know, this thing that I made up. And I have four right now. I haven't had time to make more yet. But I have Tune Up, Joyous Heart, Serenity, and Dispel Darkness. Now, Dispel Darkness was the first one I did because people in Sedona were flipping out. And I said, what in the heck is going on? I can't tell you how many vampires I had walk into my office.
Wow.
It got to be that every Wednesday was Vampire Wednesday. And I said, is there a sign out there? I kept having these people coming in and, like, courting me the minute they walked in the door. And I finally got so irate, I yelled at one guy. And he skedaddled out of there pretty quickly. But
Did he know what you were yelling about?
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah, but now he's doing great. You know, it changed his life. And I thought, man, that's really weird. I don't normally yell at these people, you know, because they say, oh, I didn't know. And what I usually say is, yeah, right, you didn't know. We all know. We know at some point. You may not know it consciously, but you know what you're doing. You know, we're all these powerful beings. And so I did this Dispel Darkness elixir because we needed something that would make the darkness stand at bay. And, you know, we're all dark and light both. You know, we have to go through and learn to walk side by side with darkness and to accept the dark part of ourselves, not to allow it free reign, because we choose to be good. We choose to do good. But you have to understand that you're made from everything. And so so my main thing was, how do I help these people? Because a lot of times what people think are an incurable disease really has nothing to do with the body other than the fact that the energy's been cut off. And I'm sure you've seen plenty of that, too, and you know, when you're dealing with people from the psychic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was just ask the archangels for help. You know, what can I put together that people will really get a benefit from? Well, I had no idea how well it was going to work. I started giving it to people that were actually undergoing attempted possessions, and it would knock the demons right out. So that just shows you the power of these quantum energies, whatever you want to call them, whether you want to call them ascended masters or archangels or ETs or whatever. I think all those things exist, but like us, they exist in the mind someplace, you know, in the non-local mind. So that's the quick down and dirty of what I do and how I got down that route.
Well, tell me, well, that's pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah.
<You're, laughs> Are you enjoying it? And tell us about the Vortex Gatherings and what technology are you getting from Fred Bell besides the, what are they called?
The nuclear receptors and the projectors and all that.
Yeah, so what are you using? Are you using all of those?
I wear a projector and a receptor.
Mm-hmm.
And
what is a receptor?
I sleep under a pyramid.
And what?
I sleep under a pyramid.
Okay.
Well, when I'm home. I don't when I'm traveling. It's too much stuff to haul around.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun, eh, when you arrive at people's houses with your pyramid.
Oh, yeah. I do carry the headgear pyramid.
Oh, good.
And I use other people's things, too. But you know, his stuff works. You know, and I've had people that that have told me all kinds of crazy things, you know, one way or the other. And I just go, look, everything is energy. And energy is really neither good nor bad until we make it so.
So what have they told you? All kinds of crazy what?
Oh, geez. I've had people that think the pyramids are evil.
Oh, right. Okay.
I had people, when I set up the room, I set it up as a room of healing and enlightenment.
And this is the room in Sedona.
Yeah, that was the room I had in Sedona. Right now it's in the back of my car but because we're traveling with it. But I set it up to be a room of healing and enlightenment and for people to be able to connect with those higher consciousness energies and to move more into who they really are. Well, I had some wacko that came in and claimed that he was a Pleiadian and this was his first lifetime on Earth and, you know, I mean, just wacko stuff. And he was going to teach me the secret Pleiadian language and then he said, oh, you know, these lights are wrong and you have to cover up these lights. And the minute somebody tells me to cover up the lights, I kind of step back and go, oh, that's kind of interesting.
I see what you're doing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he wanted me to cover all that up. And so I started looking at this guy, and I realized he was empty inside. It was like he was just a shell. I said, wow, I haven't seen one of those before that I realized. You know, it was, you know, I scanned his insides, and it's not that he didn't have human insides. He did. But energetically, he was just like a black hole.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was really interesting. Well, anyway, after I basically said, look, I'm not interested in doing this and, you know, don't come back, then he started going around Sedona and telling everybody that I was evil and my room was evil and I was getting people possessed and all this other nonsense. And I'm standing there going, oh, brother.
Were people, did anybody defend you?
Oh, you know, who knows? You know, I had people telling me this, but, you know, most people will not step up to someone else's aid.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to have to change.
I was going to say, I wonder why that is, and is it going to change? I think it's got to change.
Well, you know, the thing is, everybody is afraid. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid somebody's going to think bad of them or lump them in with somebody else. They're afraid that that it's going to, you know, change.
You're
going to
get
their...
tangled up in it. That's what they're afraid of. Okay?
Yeah, they're afraid somebody's going to come after them, you know, in one way or another. And they're really cowards. And the problem is that there's no more time for that. People need to stand up. They need to find the courage that's the truth of who they are. They need to quit being these little namby-pamby, politically correct people who are so worried about what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, and I have another thing to say, which is we came from a generation in which the thing is don't make waves, don't get involved, don't show your dirty laundry. So there's still some of that pulsing through the consciousness as well, huh?
Oh, yeah, which is why people get upset with me, because I go out there, yank out the dirty laundry and wave it. Go, hey, look at this. Here, let's clean it up.
Yeah, get that shadow out here right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's what our work is all about, actually, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, you know, both with ourselves and with everybody that we come into contact with. And I found, you know, living in Sedona is difficult. There are some really wonderful, amazing people there who mostly hide away because they've gone through this ridiculous stuff that, you know, there's dark and light there, and so the darkness comes out and attacks you every time it can. And you know, it makes life kind of...
Why can't the lightness, why can't there be an empowerment that neutralizes that?
Well, there is, but the empowerment comes from within yourself.
Right.
You know, as everything does. And basically what has to happen is people have to make a choice with what they want to do. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I found in my own life anyway, that if things get real uncomfortable, it's because it's really time for me to shift to something that I really didn't want to have to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I get the kick in the butt, you know, and it sends me away, and I go off and I do these things. And, you know, I'm human just like everybody else. You know, I have times when I would just like to be left alone, and, you know, I try to treat everybody with kindness and respect and in an honest manner. Now, that does not mean that I have no personality or that I'm Mother Teresa. Sometimes I'll tell people they're being idiots, you know, because they need that.
Right.
And so I've had people that really hate me because I'll tell them the truth.
Mm.
But I'm not going to stop. You know, it makes life uncomfortable, but, you know, during those times you have to just kind of take the deep breath and go, look, I came here to be the truth and to be love. And if people can't handle that, that's their problem. My problem is how much of this am I willing to do and how uncomfortable am I going to get to be in the truth? And I finally had to come to the conclusion that I would rather live in the truth and in unconditional love than anything. And, you know, for people that are afraid to make that choice, let me tell you, you know, I've had my life threatened many times. And I've had really scary guys looking me in the eye and saying, that may be the last thing that comes from your lips. And I tell them, fine, I don't care. The only thing I care about is being in truth and in unconditional love. And, you know, if that's my dying word, then that's fine.
I said, we're on a process of ascension or a process of evolution, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Given that context, do you think it's getting better? Do you think people are pivoting out of that kind of dog-eat-dog kind of consciousness?
I haven't seen it happening as quickly as I would have liked. I think they're attempting it.
Okay.
And there's a lot of us now that are running around here and doing all these things and going, listen, people, it's time to wake up.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that we're safe yet. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say, oh, it's all in divine order, it's all fine. And I tell them, yeah, it's all fine on the other side. here, we're in the game. We have a job to do. You choose your side, dark or light. You know, there's no more sitting on the fence now. People have to make their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And life can be whatever way they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to have a little excitement in my life, so obviously I chose this way. There are other people that really don't want that. You know, they want to be hermits. They want everything to be nice. They want to play nice. And I don't have much tolerance for that, because while they're doing that, yes, they're doing that with their own life,
mm-hmm.
but what have they contributed to the game?
Well, you're here for this anyway. Tell me about disease.
Okay, what would you like to know?
Well, I'm just thinking how disease, we're talking about ascension, at least one mm-hmm. thing I just brought up was about ascension, and the way you're talking, I'm going, disease to me sort of reflects a kind of resistance and a holding in, you know what I mean? It's a part of that consciousness. Do you see, as people are moving through and using these the projectors and the work that you're doing, that we can flip through disease way faster and move to a higher frequency, change the energy, change the reality?
Absolutely. It doesn't mean you'll be out of disease or injury, because you'll still have those things. But you could have a much quicker path through them. And like, people think that when you're healthy, you don't ever get sick, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
The state of health simply means that if you get sick or injured, you heal quickly. That's a state of true health.
Mm.
So as long as you're in a body, as long as we're playing in this 3D and 4D world, you know, you're going to have these things that you have to go through, and a lot of them are there in order to help you grow.
Well, tell me this. Do you, like, who comes to you outside of these vortex groups, which we're going to talk about,
mm-hmm.
who comes to you as a naturopathic physician? Do you take in people? Do you recommend full breakdown? I notice you work with blood types. Do you do hair analysis? What is it you do to help people, you know, to work
mm-hmm.
with people?
Well, I work like any other physician. You know, if you're a licensed physician, you're a licensed physician. You are held to community standards, so you do the same thing that pretty much every other doctor in the state would do.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with a naturopath is that because we have so many different tricks in the bag, we have our favorites. You know, I have colleagues that do only homeopathy, and so they do mostly a talking therapy. You know, somebody will come in, they'll talk to them, they don't do an exam, all they do is they just do the homeopathic exam, which is, you know, several hours of questioning sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We have other colleagues who do just acupuncture. Me, I tend to like, you know, have a hand in every pot, because for me, it's the shotgun therapy that works, and I've had great success in helping people to heal that have had these weird diseases, because I'm dealing with their psyche,
mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with their past life, future life, with the soul fragments, with the energy blockages, with the allopathic type or conventional medicine, as well as traditional medicine. And I'm intuitive, too, and so I can be sitting there looking at somebody, and I'll suddenly know exactly what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, I'll be sitting there sometimes, and I'll go, what do you think? And I'll go, wow, I have no idea. You know, let's just, you know, go down this path and see what happens. Because medicine is not a precise science.
No.
They would like to call it science, but they call it the art or the practice of medicine, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And a good physician is someone who is really good at their art.
It seems to me also that people, and just jumping around a bit, that when I asked about disease, it seems to me that as we move through consciousness, do you have like a lot of people that are on the consciousness trail, A and B, doesn't that evoke in people or bring up a kind of a, for some people it brings up a clearing, which might be disease as it goes through, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, and some of them are clearing out things from their ancestors.
Yeah, or other lifetimes or lineage.
Oh, yeah,
because yeah.
It has to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because, you know, everything is speeded up so much. And so what you'll find is a disease that someone's been suffering from their whole life may have absolutely nothing to do with them in this life. But
and do you work with that? Do you work with that?
I do a little bit. I don't do so much with that. When I do work with that, I usually use the flower remedies, or I'll use acupuncture, or I'll just put them in the room, you know, and just say, here, you know, do some release. Do some, you know, unconditional love and prayer and ask for what you want. And then I'll give them a shot of tune-up or joyous heart or dispel darkness or whatever it seems like they would need to help them over that hump.
So that's enough for the whole lineage thing and so on?
Yeah, sometimes it is.
Wow, that's,
you know,
great.
Yeah, but see, you never know. And it's like I tell people, sometimes I have people who have miraculous healings.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look at me and they'll go, did you know that was going to happen? And I look at them and go, nope, I had no clue. I just did the best that I could do, and I prayed for them. And I just tell them, look, just be honest with me. Don't give me any crap, you know. I don't have time for the crap, so just be honest with me. I'll be honest with you. And then we work, you know, as well as we can together. I also fire people if they're not doing what I tell them to do.
Good.
And I tell them, look, you know, you don't have to do anything I tell you to do. But I am a physician, and I do have over 30 years now of experience, and I've got 16 years of college, most of it all in the medical field. So, you know, I kind of do have a clue of what's going on. And so if I tell you that you need to do X, Y, and Z to get rid of your diabetes, then I expect you to do it. And if you're not going to do it, you become a liability to yourself and to me. And so I fired a few patients.
Hmm.
And other ones I won't take on because I can tell that it's not going to work. Because I, you know, I tell people, don't waste my time and your money.
Hmm.
I'm not interested in just taking people's money. I'm interested in doing the best job that I can do. Because I happen to love this stuff. And so it's not fun for me if I have a bunch of patients that come in, you know, it's the same stuff all the time, and they can't seem to take care of themselves and all that stuff. And, you know, if you've got a life-threatening disease, you need to decide if you're going to stay or go.
Right.
And
do you get right down to that with people?
Pardon?
Do you get right down to that with people right away?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. In fact, I had the last couple of years, I think it was like one a year, I had one of my patients died. The first guy that came in was an RN who was quite well known in the area and had the only healing center around for years and just a sweetheart of a guy. And he came in and he was in terminal liver and kidney failure, and he was an RN besides. I said, how has it escaped your attention that you're in terminal liver and kidney failure and the VA just gave you 2 weeks to live? And he goes, oh, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Oh, my God.
And there he is with this giant belly that's got like 20 pounds of fluid that should not be there, but it's there because it's leaking out of his organs and such. And I'm sitting there covering my eyes going, oh, my God. Well, I was able to give him 7 months, but he still died. But what I found was his spirit had already left because he didn't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to do quite a lot of fancy footwork to get his spirit to come back so I could talk with him. And finally he said, well, you know, he said, I really thought that I would have been in a relationship by now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm so lonely. And he said, you know, I was married, you know, have a kid, and, you know, got divorced, don't get to see the kid, you know, there's nobody around me. And he said, I just really don't want to be here. And I said, okay, well, that's the first honest thing, because for months he was telling me, oh, no, I'm going to move, I'm going to go to New Zealand, and I'm going to have a career in art, and I said, maybe in the next lifetime.
Right.
But and so it's frustrating, you know, when you have something like that going on. But, you know, I always tell people, I will work with them as long as they want to work at it.
Tell me this, do you tests on people? Do you do, like, blood tests, hair analysis? I think I already
have. I do all that stuff, yeah. I do the, you know, well, I don't do hair analysis too often. But I do blood tests. I do, you know, the x-rays and, what else?
What about brain? One of the things that's happening a lot with people is the whole aging thing, hormones, and brain and forgetfulness and so on. Do you have anything to say about that kind of?
Yeah, I do prescribe the full set of hormones for people, the bioidentical hormones.
For people who are postmenopausal?
Pardon?
For people who are postmenopausal?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when the doctors have not realized that they are menopausal. I had one lady that came in, they were going to rip her uterus out. She was 32.
Ah!
Yeah. And so they had stopped her menses, and they were going to rip her uterus out, and I said, why? And they said, well, because I'm bleeding and they can't stop it. I said, why? And she said, well, they don't know. I said, what are they going to do about it? She said, well, they're going to rip out my uterus. I said, why? She goes, oh, well, because I'm bleeding and they can't stop it. And so we go through this three times, and finally I said, are you starting to see the problem here?
Mm-hmm.
I said, they have no clue, but have they checked your hormones? She said, well, no, they gave me this depo shot and stopped my hormones, and now I feel like I'm going to die.
Hmm.
So it took me a year to get her stabilized, but, you know, put her on the full hormone. She had her life back, no more bleeding. Everything was going great, and then she had to stop seeing me because she ran out of money, and so she was having to go to a free clinic where, unfortunately, one of my colleagues said, oh, well, let's take you off the hormones and just see how you do. And when I heard this, I went, excuse me? Have we abandoned the scientific method? We're going to take you off hormones and just see how you do.
So what happened?
Well, she got bad again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just so stupid that it just really riled me.
Well, tell me this. I'm very curious. There's so many people aging these days. There's many people going through consciousness changes, doing energy work, evolving,
mm-hmm.
shifting psychotherapy and so on. Do you think as we age, we need bioidentical or hormones in order to facilitate longevity that's full? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
You do need them until you get to the point where you can work with your body enough that you can command it to take up production of hormones again. We were never meant to live this long without hormones.
That's what I'm concerned about. So, like, how do you do that? So you command it with your angels and so on?
Well, you can. You know, I know there are a few people who have managed that, but most people don't. Because, you know, realistically, we're all out here working and, you know, trying to survive and trying to do all these things, and we're in this rush thing.
I know.
We've got all these concerns in the world. And so the idea that somebody is going to be able to sit and do that is pretty not existent.
Well, it can be time-consuming. I just always think, I mean, I'm just as an intuitive and as a healer kind of character, I often think we should be encouraging taking hormones after a certain age just so that we can live longer and have this productivity, and I don't know anybody who agrees with that, so I'm curious.
Well, I agree with that, and here's what I base it on. All of the tests that were done on the hormones where they stated that estrogen caused cancer, all of those were done on Premarin, which is not estrogen.
Right.
Okay, there's 200 metabolites that come from the horse urine that that they have created, some of them in the lab, and they have no idea what they're going to do to anybody. And so when you're testing something like that, the reason that it promotes cancer is because it's not the type of bioidentical hormone that you need. We need 17-beta-estradiol.
Okay.
And we need estriol and not so much estrone. We make our own estrone. But the active form is 17-beta-estradiol. Now, horse pee does have a little bit of that in there, but not enough. And in the meantime, you've changed all of these different chemical things and given it to women, and you give everybody the same dose. And then you wonder why they get cancer, you know, and they haven't balanced it. And even if you do something like PremPro, which a lot of women are on, you know, it's the estrogen-progesterone combination, it's still the synthetic stuff. And so if you change those people to the bioidentical hormones, then you start seeing a difference right away, and they have to be balanced. And now I just started using a different spit test. I never liked the salivary test until just recently. I found a company that I like. And so I've been using blood tests for a long time, which is very prohibitively expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally it's going to run you about $1,600 for this battery of tests.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's if you're paying out of pocket. If you're going by insurance, it's not that much, of course. But you know, it's expensive. And so I was looking for a less expensive way, and there's one company that is doing hormone levels by pattern rather than by amount.
Hmm.
And I found that was really interesting. I'm still, you know, working on learning that one.
Hmm.
But so far I've found that what they put together does work.
Do you have any older clients that you've put on hormones at 70 or 77?
Oh, yeah. I had one that was 95.
And you put her on hormones?
I sure did.
And what happened?
She blossomed.
Wow. So what about memory and brain and all that sort of...
You need estrogen for the memory.
You need estrogen for the
memory. Yeah, and you need it also for coping. Like, one of the big things that you know, everybody says women are crazy because of hormones. And you know what? It's true. We are.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I've been there, you know.
Yeah. So it's either you have too much or you have too little, and either side makes you crazy.
And we get these surges and rushes and depletions. And...
Oh, you get all kinds of craziness. Mm-hmm. And the problem that most people don't realize, though, is that estrogen has so much to do with your memory.
Hmm.
And the other thing is they don't realize that you can't cope with life very well without the hormones.
Hmm.
So you have to have them in balance. And this is why I always did the blood test, because it's more important for me not just to protect their bones, but to be able to put the patient in a state of normal functioning where they can get through life without complications.
You know what I think is really exciting, Dr. Valerie, is that so many people are so excited about longevity, but this is not a discussion I hear very often. I ask these questions, but, you know, people seem to walk away from it, yet there's a lot of women I know that are suffering, even though they're long living and healthy. They're, you know?
Well, yeah, but you're not really healthy if you're not in a proper balance of hormones. I mean, I have plenty of women that come in and they say, gosh, I just don't know what's wrong with me. You know, I lost my waist, and I'm patting my waist and going, yeah, I used to have this little teeny tiny waist, and now I have none. And, you know, I'm in the same boat as my patients. But one of the things they don't realize is that the joy of life is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I go out and I do a hormone lecture, I have people rolling in the aisles. They're laughing so hard because I'm telling them what the hormones do for each person. You know, whether you're male or female, you have the same hormones. You just have them in different amounts.
So talk about that. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have a stepdaughter who's young and feisty, and she has no pituitary, so she's always in a hormone dance of some sort.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really difficult.
Yeah, she's had a lot of, like, injected and synthetic and this and that, you know.
Yeah.
So I want her to be on bioidentical hormones. I think she's going on to that soon. But
it's
a huge subject, isn't it?
It's a huge subject, and most of the people who should be dealing with this don't.
Mm-hmm.
And let me give you an example. I had one lady that she came in and worked for me for a while, a really nice lady. And when she came in, she said, well, you know, it's time for my yearly thing, and, you know, what should I get? So I gave her a list and wrote her out a script, said, you know, here's your lab work. So she goes to the HMO and she gets all this stuff drawn. And then she goes to her gynecologist and says, well, you know, the gynecologist says, I don't even know how to interpret this. She got so mad, she grabbed it out of her hand. She said, well, give it to me, because my naturopath knows how to interpret this. And I said, oh, my God. I said, here you have somebody who's a specialist who doesn't know that these other things exist. How can that be? And it's not that I expect everybody to know everything. We can't. You know, the field's just too vast. But, you know, I send people into the specialist because they've got usually 3 years of extra training in whatever area they're specializing in. And so,
but they're not going to necessarily know about natural hormones.
A hormone's a hormone, you know.
Okay.
So, I mean, they should know about hormones. They should know what these hormones do, and they should know how to check for certain things. But what normally happens when you go in, you say, Doc, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm lethargic, I have brain fog, you know, I've gained weight, you know, my bones feel kind of brittle, I'm getting a hump on my back, you know, and all this kind of stuff. The doc says, oh, you probably need estrogen. They just put you on it. They don't even bother to check you because they figure, well, you know, if you're 50 or something, you've probably already gone through menopause. You're not having a period. Okay, that's it. And they put you on 0.625 milligrams of Premarin. And that doesn't do the job. It might save your bones, but then it causes other problems. Whereas you come to see somebody like me, and I either draw the blood or I get the spit test, and I look at the balance of the hormones, because just because you've gone through menopause does not mean you're not making hormones. And where the problem comes in, for instance, with hot flashes, is if you're making too much estrogen and there's not enough progesterone to kind of balance it.
Right.
Or you may be making too much testosterone, so you're angry and irritable all the time, and you get the loss of the waist. You know, so there's all these little dances that go on within the hormones, and you have to be able to balance it. So once I see where somebody's at, then I can get the formulation that's going to work better for them. And it takes about a year to get people balanced. And
wow.
Yeah, because it's minute. Hormones are extremely powerful.
Hmm.
They're little teeny tiny packets of information that have such a far-reaching effect and have so much to do with your enjoyment of life and just with your body processes. For instance, if you don't have estrogen along with vitamin C and calcium, and a host of other things. But if you don't have vitamin C, calcium, and estrogen, you cannot get bone to go into your bone.
Oh, wow.
Okay, if you don't have progesterone and boron and phosphorus and magnesium, you can't get the bone to stay in your bone.
Hmm.
And see, the bones are constantly remodeling. And by that I mean that you leach out minerals and then you put some back. And so it's constantly being rebuilt. And there's this ebb and flow that happens that's supposed to happen.
Hmm. Well,
so,
what do you recommend for people then? I mean, if we're going to gracefully go into longevity, and I know this isn't only about older people, but it's about an awareness of hormones, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because you can have somebody in their 20s that actually goes through menopause. or
or people in their 20s have terribly uneven hormonal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll really drive them crazy. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is that most of the medical people you're going to go to are going to say, oh, you're bleeding, your hormones are crazy, birth control pills didn't work, okay, we're just going to take out your uterus or your ovaries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a bad deal. You know, I had one friend who was coming to me, and I was, you know, working on her hormones. Everything was okay. And she said, well, I started bleeding, and so I'm going to my friend that's an allopath, and next thing I heard, she was having surgery, and then she just kind of lost it after that. And I said, you know, it's unfortunate that that happened, but it was because she wasn't balanced on the hormones. And people, let me tell you, if your hormones are off, you are certifiable. You know?
I know, you know, as a psychic, when I was going through menopause, I used to get cracks in my visions, and I had these really eerie, huge voids that would show up. It was really strange.
How weird.
I was really scared.
I didn't get anything like that, but I got every symptom known to woman, and I went, that's it. I'm not playing this game. I put myself on full hormones.
I'll tell you what, I went on them, and people said, oh, you shouldn't do that. I said, will you raise my child and run my business for a few years then, please? And they wouldn't do that, so I stayed on hormones until I met a woman who was an energy healer par excellence. I'm a pretty good one myself, but hers was shocking. And I went right off hormones after her.
Wow.
She was pretty. What she did was she was able to bring up from the ovaries, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like anyway, enough activity that I developed. I didn't start my menstrual cycle again. But anyway, I think that's a pretty important thing, and I think this aging and hormones is really crucial.
Well, and the hormones go beyond the sex hormones. You know, the thyroid and the adrenals are important, too. And when you go to a physician, if you're going to go for menopausal symptoms and they don't check your thyroid, then you need to go find another physician. Because if the thyroid is not functioning, then no matter how many of the bioidentical hormones they throw at you, it's not going to work.
Hmm.
Same thing with the adrenals. And like a lot of women don't have to have huge supplementation because their adrenals are still working. They're not burnt out.
Right.
You know, in the case of somebody who's had a lot of college or, you know, high-stress job, you pretty much have no adrenals left. So
tell me about men as well. We're running short of time, and I realize we haven't touched on them. And they also have hormones, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what happens is there's this little thing called aromatase that's an enzyme. And aromatase is increased by things like alcohol and wheat and stress. And, you know, there's a whole series of things that happen. What aromatase does to men is it will take their testosterone and convert it to estrogen.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. And so they start having prostate problems, and then they go into the guy, you know, and they do the biopsy and stuff, and they're like, everybody's all sad, oh, we're going to have to irradiate your prostate. And I've had them come into me, and the first thing I do is check their hormone levels. I had one guy that came in. He had a 400 level on his estrogen. I said, my God, I wish mine was 400. You know, as women should be usually about 350 to 500. And, you know, you don't feel girly when it drops below 100.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get into this kind of androgynous thing. And men don't feel like men when their testosterone drops, especially below 200. So,
go ahead.
What you find with these guys is they usually have a high testosterone level.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going, oh, well, you know, their testosterone's fine. And I look at them and I go, yeah, well, what's their estrogen? And they're like, well, you don't check estrogen in a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it and I go, well, I'll tell you what I do, because 9 times out of 10, that estrogen level is sky high. And I had one guy that came in. This was really funny. His testicles were huge, and they were pink. We're talking bright baboon pink.
Wow.
And his wife said, what is this? I said, I have no clue. And I tried a couple things, and they didn't work. So I said, okay, it's obviously not jock itch, you know. So let's send the guy into the oh, God, it's escaping me now. Anyway, sent him in, urologist. And so I sent him in to the urologist, and he comes back, and I said, well, what did he find? And they said, well, he doesn't know what it is either. I said, what? So then I sent him to the dermatologist. He comes back, and they said, well, the dermatologist doesn't know what it is either. I said, oh, for crying out loud. You know, but by then I had his blood drawn, and I looked at it, and I went, oh, my God, his testosterone was sky high. It was like 1285 when normal was, you know, about, oh, say, 400 to 900,
mm-hmm.
and his estrogen was 400. So I put him on an aromatase inhibitor, which is basically broccoli essence. You couldn't eat enough broccoli to do that. You have to have the pill. But anyway, I put him on that, and within a month, all the prostate symptoms were gone. Mm-hmm. The bright baboon pink testicles and scrotum were back to normal size and not bright pink anymore. And his PSA level dropped down to normal.
Well, you know what's interesting as you're saying that? I'm going, well, there's a national thing about prostate problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is this, would you say, is reflective of the nature of our cultural stress and diet right now?
I would say it's that plus the exogenous estrogen. Like every time you drink water out of a plastic bottle, you are ingesting estrogen. And so we're having a lot of feminization of our men because
what about chicken and hormones and stuff?
Not so much. Well, yeah, if they put hormones in there, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of endogenous or exogenous estrogens, which just means outside, outside of your body. So there's all these estrogens that are coming in through plastic wrap. Like one of the reasons you don't ever want to microwave anything with plastic wrap on it is because you will get it full of all kinds of chemicals, not the least of which is estrogen.
Okay.
And so we have this feminization of our men going on, and they're getting huge amounts of prostate problems. And it's really easy to take care of. But, you know, again, I don't just go in and give people this pill willy-nilly. I draw the blood, you know, and see where their levels are.
This is probably some of the most exciting information because I've been fairly perplexed. I know it's something to do with the diet, the suppression of power, and so on. But, I mean, just to feminize them is enough to suppress the power.
Well, absolutely, because what they do, when they start losing the testosterone, and again, their test will show normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but all the testosterone's being converted to estrogen, because not all, but most of these hormones can be converted back and forth from one to the other. And so when you have too much aromatase, and again, remember that's wheat, you know, mm-hmm. wheat's in pretty much everything. It's alcohol, so a lot of guys are drinking a lot. It's the stress, I mean, it's all kinds of things. So when you get those things together and you have an increase in the aromatase enzyme, And they go to the doc and they say, you know, doc, I don't have the fire in the belly anymore. I don't want to do anything. I just want to go home and sit down on the couch. And, you know, I want to drink my three beers and I don't want anybody to bother me. They don't want sex anymore. You know, I mean, this all this craziness that's happening because their hormones are off. And it's not their fault. You know, they need to understand that it doesn't make them less of a man. You know, it's just that our modern lifestyle has screwed things up really badly.
Well, I think what's really interesting, and this is the end of the show, as you know, but what's really interesting to me is you've just given so much. This has been wonderful talking to you. I could pick your brains forever, but this is so inspiring regarding the sexual.
Oh,
I mean, I want to jump into the feminine thing about breast cancer and ovarian cancer and all this kind of sexual hormonal.
Oh, yeah, well, that's another show.
Yeah, it's hormonal imbalances coming from our culture, isn't it?
It is.
Driven
well,
by.
Well, it's not just that. It's not just the hormones with that. But that's another whole show.
That's too big a show.
Yeah, that'd take a little bit too long. But,
I'm very excited about everything we've talked about, and it was just the beginning. And would you like to give the name of your show? It's on tonight, the Enlightened Medicine Show.
Yep, thank you very much. The Enlightened Medicine Show on Channel 1 on bbsradio.com. And it's on at 7 o'clock Pacific. And right now I am in Pennsylvania with my friend and assistant, Madeline. And we are doing these quantum vortex tours. You can check that out on my website, which is www.drvalerienmd. That's Dr. Valerie NMD, which stands for Naturopathic Medical Doctor.com. And then go halfway down the homepage, click on Host Your Own Quantum Vortex Gathering. It takes you to the page with some pictures. Also, the MySpace, which I gave out earlier, is myspace.com/quantumvortex. And there's quite a few pictures on that I just put up, and we'll start blogging on that and making it a little bit easier for people to see what's going on. But we are traveling around the country connecting people, and it's a manifestation experience as well as a connection with the golden white light of unconditional love. And people are having some amazing, amazing experiences. Life-changing experiences.
So any listeners who wanted to invite you in to do a gathering could do that?
Yes, they could.
Mm-hmm.
And my numbers are on the website, but if somebody's looking for that right now, you can call me on the cell phone at 928-301-2131 or on the 800 number and leave a message, 888-977-5898. And if you call tonight, you probably won't get me because my show will be on in a little bit. So,
well, they might listen to your show. Is your show a call-in show?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do call-in tonight. Nobo Calypso is going to be on. He's an amazing Chaldean numerologist, and we're going to talk about the spiritual aspects in your Chaldean numerology, like what numbers would kind of point towards the fact that you're going to do a lot of spiritual stuff in this lifetime.
Excellent. Maybe I'll listen too.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Valerie. It's been just a wonderful, informative. I'm going to have to go to work and study your site and all that you taught us about.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Veronica. It's been a blast.
It's been a blast for me, and I'm looking forward to having a big discussion about feminine hormones and cancers and so on as well.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. This is Veronica Entwistle, and that was our paradigm shifter, Dr. Valerie Olmsted, with, oh my gosh, an awful lot of information about vibrational things, even some channeled information going along with Radiance by Design and what we're talking about tonight, and a great deal about hormones and the various things she does. Boy, I really enjoyed that. I hope you did too. And we'll be talking next week on Radiance by Design at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, 4 o'clock West Coast time. And at 5 o'clock, our paradigm shifter will be Meredith Sowers, and we'll talk about her. I'll be sending you a flyer. If you'd like to be on my email list, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And I'll be talking to you from Jackie Salvitti's show, Working with the ET Healers, Thursday night at 8 o'clock. We're still dealing with the shadow. We're dealing with love. We're dealing with fear. We're dealing with all of these things that, as a collective, we're trying to move through and embrace love, but what's in the way? So tune in at 8 o'clock on Thursday nights, and we'll talk to you then. I'll see you next Tuesday. Good night and many blessings.